is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to continue our series on healing the body, God's healing power, divine health, and then practical things that you can do in terms of nutrition, herbs, vitamins, exercise, alternative therapies. And you really have to get into the mindset regarding any psychological challenge, any physical challenge with your body, whether it's sickness or some kind of degradation of functioning. You know, you can't walk the way you used to walk, or you're not as strong as you used to be, or whatever. So all of this constitutes sickness and disease, either of the mind or of the body. And the thing that we have to understand is that we should not be passively, no believer in Jesus Christ should be passively receiving sickness, disease, etc. When we begin to experience symptoms, or we go to a doctor and get a diagnosis or whatever, all of us are tempted to go like on autopilot. You know, you go to the doctor, you get medication, and you know, hopefully the medication works and you'll be better. But really, all of us need to remember that the very source of health, the very source of healing is God. So before we run to grab a Tylenol, aspirin, Bufferin, whatever, and all these other over-the-counter medications, as well as other medications, we need to ask God to heal us. We need to spend time in prayer. Or even if we are taking medication, because we've begun to ask God to heal us, etc., our mindset should not be the same mindset as non-believers all around of us who just accept their sickness and disease. You need to go into a mindset where you say, I'm going to wage war, literally. I'm going to declare war against sickness, disease, premature aging itself. Now, I'm not implying by that, you know, you're going to declare war against aging, and I'm not implying that you're not going to age or that you're not going to eventually die. I'm not saying that. That's a very extreme and theologically unbalanced position. But I am saying that you need to do everything in your power to slow down the aging process and to increase your lifespan, which is a gift of God. And you have to have a mindset, really, that you're in a war. And the reason for that is concerning sickness and disease. Well, first of all, the Bible teaches us that sickness and disease is part of the curse of the law. And we really can't just let that, you know, go in one ear and out another ear. Sickness and disease, something that we really need to study and dig into God's word. Sickness and disease comes from the curse of the law. It's very important for God to give you a revelation of what that means, because you see, you can't have or receive healing. You can't have the proper mindset regarding sickness and disease, etc., if you don't really have a revelation of the biblical fact that sickness and disease and dying and aging and your body degrading and so on and so forth is all part of the curse of the law. It's a curse. So the root cause of every kind of sickness, including aging, which is a form of sickness, and death, which is the ultimate biological sickness, the root cause of it is that it's spiritual. So the root source of healing has to be spiritual. Again, I'm not talking about that we should become Christian scientists or whatever and not take medicine and so on and so forth, or not take alternative medicines. And by the way, I want to start right up front by making a disclaimer to anyone listening. And that is, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, but I do not profess to be a medical doctor, and nothing that I say should be interpreted as me giving you medical advice. You are responsible, and you need to consult with a doctor when necessary, because everybody's situation is different. So I'm going to be talking about healing and things like that, but you always have to check with your doctor. I am not a doctor, so I want to make that clear. And the other thing is, you can't just go to any doctor. You have to go to a doctor who you trust, a doctor who understands alternative therapies and the importance of herbs and nutritions and nutrition and antioxidants and things like that. A lot of doctors are completely uneducated in that area. That doesn't mean they can't help you. They can, but their expertise is limited to what they learned in medical school, where I believe they only teach 1 hour on a 1 hour course on nutrition. Well, that's ridiculous. Nutrition is one of the most powerful ways of preventing diseases and healing diseases. So let's look at the root cause of what causes all sickness, disease, and death. And see, anybody who tells you that death is natural, no, death is not natural. We were never created by God to die. So when the people around us who don't know God or don't know God's word, and they believe that death is natural, they're deceived. Death is not natural, it's unnatural, because mankind, men and women, were never created to age, sick, get sick, or die. That's part of a curse. So that doesn't mean that everybody is not going to get old and degrade, etc. We all are, because we live in a fallen world. So let's look at what, first of all, what was God's will from the beginning? So that we read in the book of Genesis, because remember, it's always the word of God which is our final authority in all things, assuming that we interpret the word of God properly and we rightly divide the word of God, which implies that we have to diligently study God's word. You know, turning on just some guy on TV or radio or whatever and tuning out your mind and just, you know, accepting what everybody says as if it's truth is very foolish. We have to discern the truth. And so what we have to do is make sure that we're rightly dividing the Word of God. And when somebody is teaching us from the Word of God, we have to compare what they're saying with God's word. That would include me, listening to me, Paul McGuire, or anybody you listen to. You never just check out and go on autopilot. Now, after doing that, you're going to discover, like we all have to one degree or another, that there are some Bible teachers and some ministers who have a track record for accurately teaching the word of God. And there are some that don't. So we want to go to and listen to those sources and those men or women of God who accurately teach the word of God. Okay, so in the book of Genesis, we see that God created the heaven and the earth. And we see a depiction of a perfect world. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish." And then it lists what they will have dominion over. Now, when they speak of, when the word speaks of man, it's speaking of both male and female, by the way. And we know that because in the following verse, verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female.
He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion, all nature. So we learn here that we're created in the image of God. Is God sick? No, absolutely not. So we were not created to be sick. And then God blessed them. Okay, so if God blessed Adam and Eve, the original man and woman, did they have sickness? Were they dying? No, they were under a total awesome, comprehensive blessing. How would you like that in your medical insurance policy or whatever? Total, awesome, miraculous blessing in terms of health. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So you can't be fruitful and multiply. You can't fill the earth and subdue it. And you can't have dominion and rulership over the earth unless you are walking in perfect divine health. So Adam and Eve had no sickness or disease of any kind. They were not dying. They were not aging. They were immortal because they lived in the Garden of Eden, which is paradise. And the Garden of Eden was very much like heaven, except heaven will be even more phenomenal. So we see that Adam and Eve are created perfectly in their DNA. They have no sickness or disease or psychological problems. They have no aging, degradation. They are going to live forever. They have eternal life. They're immortal. They live in a perfect world, not only in terms of its beauty, but everything they eat in the Garden of Eden. And the only thing they were not allowed to do in the Garden of Eden was to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Because God said, in the day that you do that, you shall surely die. But with that exception, think about this. The atmosphere environmentally was totally pure. The fruits and vegetables, totally, totally pure. And that means they tasted wonderful, they looked wonderful, and they were super nutritious is an understatement. They brought healing, but they didn't need healing. So it sustained their healing. It added to them because they never got sick. They never got run down. They never got tired. Okay, so what happened? They're in paradise. No sickness, disease, death, pollution of any kind. Psychologically completely whole. So the serpent tempts them in Genesis 13, mixing truth with lies, and he appeals to Eve and uses kind of like a subtle, you know, look, I realize that some of the people that I'm talking to right now, some of you have been trained as salespeople or in the business world to incorporate neuro-linguistic programming or NLP, and maybe one day I'll do a show on it. But what NLP does is it's almost a hypnotic method of bonding to people for sales purposes, influencing people, controlling people, all right? Therefore, it's not really a totally clean system. It's not just a psychological system. It's a psychological occultic system. Now, when the serpent appealed to Eve and she appealed to Adam, the serpent was using things far beyond NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. He was using hypnotic techniques, mind control techniques, because one of Satan's primary characteristics is the father of lies, but he is a genius at creating seductive lies that deceive and get people to do things that they wouldn't do if they were in their right mind. So he coaxes, he uses the wiles of the devil, and he mixes truth with lies, and he lies about the fact that they will die if they eat the fruit of the tree, where God specifically said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, you're going to die. And so what happened is she ate it, she gave it to her husband, they ate it, and then bam, at that moment they activated
a cosmic switch. They activated the law of sin and death. At that exact nanosecond, Adam and Eve and all of creation and all of planet Earth came under a curse, okay, as God said it would. And Adam and Eve came under a curse. And so what happened was the death force released through the law of sin and death instantly brings about this. First, Adam and Eve are in the process of dying now. The second they triggered the law of sin and death, they began to die. Their bodies began to degrade. They began to experience psychological shame and fear. Those emotions were emotions they never had before. And their relationship began to degrade over time. Their bodies degraded. The core of their personality was no longer perfect. Now they had things like lust and anger and rage and unforgiveness. And then when they began to multiply, they passed their fallen genetic code onto their descendants. And you and I are the descendants of Adam and Eve. So we were born under this curse of the law of sin and death. We were born as fallen creatures. So we too die. Every member of the human race dies unless you're part of that generation when you're a believer and the Lord returns while you're alive. So we all die. We're all under a curse. We all age. We're all susceptible to disease, sickness, so on, mental problems, psychological problems, war, and all the horrible things that come out of man's sin nature is all activated by the law of sin and death. That's why anybody who tells you they don't need a savior is out of their mind. They're insane. Of course you need a savior. You need a savior because you're dying and there's nothing you can do to escape from that. Transhumanism, good luck. Johnny Depp in the movie Transcending, uploading his consciousness into a massive computer system, good luck. A clone, look. This is all man's way of attempting to cheat death and save themselves apart from the only method of salvation, which is forgiveness of sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ and becoming born again. So everybody is susceptible to sickness, disease, aging, and all these problems, health problems. And then the degradation of the human bodies, and then the deterioration of the fruits and vegetables. And then as thousands and thousands of years go by, mankind violates, even in the early beginnings, the Jewish people were commanded by God to plant their crops, and then they were on a cyclical basis commanded by God to let the land rest. There had to be a Sabbath for the land. And this was done by God intentionally so that the land, the soil, would replenish its vitamins, its nutrients, and minerals so that when you grew fruits or vegetables, they were nutritious. But if you violated the Sabbath for the land and you just did one harvest after another, then you're now producing fruits and vegetables that have no nutritional value because you've sucked all of that out of the soil and you haven't obeyed God and allowed the land to rest so it replenishes itself. That's one of the big problems in America and around the world. The greed, the sinfulness of man. Money, money, money. So what happens is you have these giant vineyards and these giant places where they have fruits and vegetables and crops in the U.S. and across the world, but they don't let the land rest. So the soil is never replenished properly. And then people are eating fruits and vegetables that don't have the properties to heal your body that they're supposed to have. They're not nutritious and people are dying and getting all kinds of diseases. Whereas if they obeyed God's law, which was to let the land rest or the soil rest on a cyclical basis, then we would be eating healthy fruits and vegetables and not getting all these diseases and sicknesses. And then on top of that, they try to cheat the laws of God. So they spray and a very inferior, substandard, you know, it's not even, it's so unethical, and it's so, so lacks nutrition. They spray on totally depleted soil, you know, vitamins and minerals, which is like, and it's done so cheaply and ineffectively that the fruits and vegetables still are not produced with nutrition. And to add all of that, local, states, cities, communities go to the wall to the water systems, okay, and all the drainage. And I said this on the other program, it's disgusting, but I need to say it because you need to know what's happening with the fruits and vegetables you're eating. The water going through the sewer pipes and all kinds of things that's filled with toxins and chemicals and heavy metals and cancer-causing chemicals and like teeth from dentist's office. I know this is disgusting, but it's really horrible, but you have to hear it because you have to be, I really don't want to offend you, and it's offensive to me to even say it. It's so horrific that I don't even want to say it, but I have to say it because you need to have like a real clear picture of just how much filth and abomination is poured into our soil. So you have things like aborted babies, you have garbage, sewer water, feces, urine. I mean, I don't want to go on. Okay, it's horrible. And then it collects into this muddy, sludgy substance, and it's filled with all this bacteria and diseases, and it's filled with all these viruses and these pollutants and horrible things. And so local communities and cities, etc., take trucks of this, what they call biosludge, and they dump it for free. Maybe they're charging money now on the farmers' soil, because what the claim is, oh, well, if you add this biosludge to your soil when you're growing crops of fruits and vegetables, you'll get some nutrients. Well, maybe you will get a few nutrients. Maybe you will, because who knows what's being poured into the water. But look, you just heard me give a short list of the filth, the pollutants, the cancer-causing chemicals, the most abominable things. You're putting that on the soil? You're putting a... That's even adding to the curse of not letting the land rest. Biosludge is cancerous. It's toxic. And and these people know what they're doing. And to put it on the soil is criminal. It's criminal. And I've seen video documentaries of it and what it looks like. And, you know, I can't even talk about it because it's so mind-blowing to think that men's hearts are so evil in nations like America that they would dump this stuff in the soil. So, see, we have toxins everywhere infecting our bodies, bringing about disease. That's why I say you have to have the mindset of declaring war, because there are institutions, there are individuals, there are corporations that have literally declared war on your health and longevity, or they wouldn't be putting biosludge on your for fertilizer on your fruits and vegetables and all the other toxic chemicals coming from chemtrails. No, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a reality check, and coming from this polluted water that we all drink, unless we manage to get certain bottled waters. But then you have to deal with, you can get very purified bottled water. Doesn't necessarily mean it's pure water. Depends on the integrity of the company. And then when water or anything else, a drink or food, is stored in a plastic container or a plastic bottle, the plastic, which is a petroleum product, it's made from the same components that make gasoline. So all plastic is a petroleum product. And so when the petroleum product of plastic interacts with water or all kinds of things, it makes chemical changes into the water. And one of the things, it affects negatively your health in all kinds of ways, but it messes around with the hormones, especially of young children. And one concern that has been coming, a major health concern, is that young boys are being raised in a feminized way, have a lot of feminine attributes, because the plastic containers that hold sodas and water and juices and stuff, they lower the testosterone levels, the male hormone, and they increase some of the female hormones and do other things. And this also leads, when males are older, to a lack of the males drinking out of plastic containers to get their wives pregnant, because it affects their body system so much. So these are all things to be concerned with. Now, isn't it interesting that the corporation that created the American Medical Association, before it was called the American Medical Association, was started by Rockefeller. And Rockefeller is one of the top globalist elite. And the Rockefeller fortune, started by the first Rockefeller, he became like one of the richest men in the world through the manufacturing of gasoline, Standard Oil, New Jersey, and other massive gasoline oil companies. And this original Rockefeller, what his career was before he became one of the richest men in the world producing gasoline, was he was what they used to call a snake oil salesman. You know, they would go about 100 years ago in America, they would go from town to town, some of these guys with these medicine carts. You know, it was a big cart with wheels, kind of like a very simplified version of like these portable lunch trucks and stuff that stop where people work and sell sandwiches and stuff, except much smaller and didn't have a motor. A horse would pull it, or if it was small, people would pull it, but usually a horse would pull it. And these snake oil salesmen would sell all these elixirs to cure you of sicknesses and disease, and most of them were made up or bogus. And some of them contained small amounts of narcotics and stuff, because the laws were very loose back then. So the Rockefeller family, that they claim that as their medical background, and the either son or grandson of the original Rockefeller started the first National American Medical Association. And they began to manufacture all these pills and all these medicines that used petroleum, so he could make more money on the gasoline, and many other products like plastic and all these secondary and third products that were built and based on petroleum. But they don't always cure people. So the key thing here is that all these things are attacking your body, including the medicines. Many of the medicines are worse than the cures. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. You should, but you need to think for yourself also. So what's the problem here? The problem here is that God created mankind, men and women, to walk in divine health and to be immortal. The major the foundational primary factor that causes death is the fact that since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, all of mankind is under the law of sin and death. So we're cursed. We all die. Okay? We all degrade. And then on top of that, the sinfulness of mankind in the production of food and the harvesting of crops, etc., everything from not letting the soil rest to using contamination and toxins and poisons. And we talked the other day about the fact that the vast majority of the American, there's like seven major food corporations that control all the food product in the United States. And the same is true in other nations. But the stuff is packed with poisonous chemicals and dyes and all kinds of things. And then on top of it, they're made with genetically modified organisms. And I was sharing with you a lecture from this female biologist where she and many other high-level biologists believe that these genetically modified organisms, like GMO corn and GMO apples and on and on and on, are create an entire cascade of very fatal diseases and autoimmune diseases. And on top of that, you have all the toxins from chemtrails, water. So we're under attack. And even medicine itself, they know full well that a lot of these medicines create diseases, but they make them anyway. And so we're under attack. All of us are. The air we breathe. And so if we're just docile and passive about it, we're going to eventually get sick prematurely or sick unnecessarily or die earlier. And we have to remember that God has a plan for each one of our lives. But in order for us to fulfill that plan, we need to be healthy to a certain extent. We need to have energy to a certain extent. And so our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're to be good stewards of our body, which means exercise, rest, proper nutrition. But it's more proper nutrition is not going to the food chain supermarket and buying fruits and vegetables that are genetically modified organisms. You're killing yourself and you're killing your children. You need to realize that. I walk around everywhere, like probably a lot of you do, and I see people anywhere from 35, 40 years old and up, and they look unusually unhealthy, okay? Unlike the people did in when I was a little kid. Now, ask yourself the difference. People that are in their 80s let's say people in their 80s, people in their 70s or older or whatever. A lot of these people lived long, and a lot of people say, well, they weren't taking nutrition, they weren't taking antioxidants. My mother, my grandmother never took an antioxidant or nutrition. They just went to the supermarket. What you have to remember, so important to remember, there are several generations of Americans still alive today, and some passed on, but yes, they didn't take supplemental vitamins, and if they did, they took this ridiculous vitamin amount determined by the government, which is just as deliberate today. I mean, if you're going by that minimal daily dose of vitamins that the government releases, kiss your life goodbye. And let's just take vitamin C. The vitamin C level, I think it used to be 100. Is it 100 milligrams? I think it's 100 milligrams. That's the minimum daily dosage that's supposedly required from a government study. I believe it's still the same thing. That is like nothing. Kiss your life goodbye if all you're taking is 100 milligrams of vitamin C. Again, I'm not a doctor. If you have a serious ulcer problem or can't take acidic foods and nutrients, then you need to check with a medical professional. But if all you're taking is 100 milligrams of vitamin C a day, literally kiss your life goodbye. You need thousands of milligrams. Now, this is my opinion. You need to check with a doctor yourself. Don't go running out doing what I'm telling you my opinion is, because, again, disclaimer, I am not a medical doctor or a professional nutritionist. You need to see somebody who's been trained and qualified before you make a decision. I'm giving you my input and my perspective, but I'm not giving you a prescription or a medical advice. But you need to find a doctor who understands these things. Let's take other things. Because we use so much suntan lotion and we're now obsessed with hiding our skin from the sun, because too much sun can prematurely age your face, etc. And then also for light-skinned people, you have a greater chance of getting like skin cancer and stuff if there's too much exposure to the sun. So people are avoiding the sun to large degrees. Whereas when I was a kid, and probably when many of you were kids, the old expression going back hundreds of years, no, I wasn't around hundreds of years ago, but the old expression was, go out and get some sun and it'll do you good. I mean, that was like a common expression. So our grandparents and great parents and so on and so forth knew that getting sun light, you know, not get sunburned, but getting sun would do you good. It would restore your health. It would get rid of depression. Now, the depression thing is not my theory. It's what I've read. Charles Spurgeon was one of the most powerful preachers in the history of Christianity, and he preached from Europe. And his sermons influenced all of Europe. He was a powerful preacher. Powerful preacher. But Charles Spurgeon would go into deep, deep depressions on a psychical basis, where he was like emotionally paralyzed. Deep depressions. And from what I've read about him, it's you can say, oh, it was demonic attack. I don't really think so in Charles Spurgeon's case, although that may have been part of it. Certainly it may have been part of it, because he was influencing and winning so many people for Jesus Christ. But he would go, he had to go to, they called them sanitariums. And, you know, whatever he went to, I mean, it was for mental treatment. They weren't locking him up in a room, because he wasn't like, you know, going crazy and violent and hearing voices, but it was kind of like a medical treatment center that had some spa-like features, not like spas today, which are very luxurious and stuff. But part of his treatment was he would sit outside for days, for months, getting sun. And it finally caused him to be free of his depression. So one of the things that we need to realize is that both genetically, and when I say genetic, I'm talking about we're all born with a fallen human nature. That means that in our DNA code, we are all born, and from the moment we're born, we're imperfect, and we begin to grow up, but that's also a process of growing older, and then eventually our biological bodies and minds degrade, and we die. But that's not what God originally created us for. And so the entire message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is salvation from sin and being born again by faith, but for the purpose of inheriting an eternal life. And so the first thing that will happen when you and I enter heaven, the nanosecond, literally, that we close our eyes and die, we will immediately be opening our eyes, looking directly into the face of Jesus Christ, where he will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And instantly you'll see the love and the glory of God. And instantly you'll recognize that you're in heaven, because everything will be beautiful beyond description, a heavenly glow. And then you'll meet immediately all the people that you loved, and they'll all be there waiting for you in heaven. And it will be ecstasy beyond belief. But the other thing is that everybody that you meet in heaven, they'll look somewhat different. You'll recognize them, but they'll look somewhat different because they will be perfect in their bodies. They'll be at the perfect age, and they will have a brand new, like you will, a brand new glorified body that's immortal, that's eternal. Because whatever age God determines is the perfect age, when you enter heaven, the first thing you'll notice is that Jesus is there, loved ones are there, but you and them, as well as Jesus, will all have brand new glorified bodies, perfect in every way. And you and I have we can't even imagine how beautiful and wondrous heaven will be. But we can't, there's no way we can even imagine how beautiful and glorious each one of us will be in our brand new glorified bodies. Just think about it for a moment. Talk in terms of health and stuff. We are so used to living in a fallen world that I don't care how physically attractive or beautiful any man or woman is on earth. You can have all the cosmetic surgery and skin treatments and lotions and whatever and the perfect diet. And people can be handsome and beautiful, etc. But in heaven, there is no fall of man. So your skin is not only glorified, but just you will be beautiful or handsome or however you want to describe it beyond imagination, because none of the manifestations of the fall are adversely affecting your brand new glorified body. In other words, you're not eating lousy nutrition, genetically modified organisms. Plus, you are no longer in a dying, degrading body. You're in a glorified body, the way God originally intended. And so this is the will of God. And it was always the will of God that you and I and every man and woman alive lives eternally with God in paradise in a perfect glorified body in a perfect world. And you see, all the psychological illnesses, all the physical illnesses, all the degradation and dying of our body due to the sinfulness of mankind, and we're talking about, you know, people who put on a tie and a suit and work in so-called respectable corporations and make the decision to make genetically modified organisms or using petroleum in food products, you know, containers, and polluting water and chemtrails and the deterioration that microwaves adversely affect our body and nervous system. See, we're bathed in a toxic atmosphere. But in heaven, we will have our brand new glorified bodies, immortal and eternal beings, as God designed us to be from the beginning. So when we talk about sickness and disease, or dying or aging and things like that, this is all part of a curse. And so this has to be firmly established in our minds. Now, when Jesus Christ died on a cross, he paid the penalty for our sins in a substitutionary death on a cross.
He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And so he took every man and woman's sin upon himself, and he paid the penalty for their sin by dying on behalf of them and you and I. Christ died as a sacrificial lamb to pay the penalty for sin, which is death. And then he resurrected from the dead. And then the whole message of the gospel is that whoever believes and puts their faith in the saving message of Jesus Christ and puts their faith in the fact that they can find forgiveness of all of their sins in Christ because he died for our sins and cleansed by his blood, and that when we invite Christ into our lives, we become born again. And that means the old man or the old woman who was under the law of sin and death is gone. And the new man and new woman is born. But this process is not fully completed until we die in these physical bodies and we enter heaven in a brand new glorified body. And that's an important thing to remember. Okay, so Jesus Christ comes with his earthly ministry. And what is one of the first things we begin to notice about Jesus Christ's earthly ministry? Well, one of the first things we noticed, and this is not accidental, that Jesus Christ went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And that also meant Jesus Christ miraculously, through his supernatural power, began to heal every single person that came to him with sickness and disease, even if it was something they had from birth. And people who were demonically possessed, Jesus Christ cast demons out of a huge number of people. Now, I don't want to get onto the subject of casting out demons and demonic deliverance, but I've often asked myself the question, being that we are in the latter part of the last days and all kinds of evil and wickedness is manifesting itself into the earth, one would think that there would be more people possessed with demons today than there were during the time of Christ. And if that's the case, we don't see from the Christian church the level of confronting and casting out demons that there should be. And this is always a very delicate subject, and one that can end up in serious theological disagreements. Personally, I happen to believe that if you're born again, you cannot be possessed with a demon. Because once you are a new person in Christ, at the very core of your being born again, Jesus Christ lives inside you, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And I believe that it is impossible for a demon to live inside you when you have been born again and Jesus Christ lives inside you and the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Because there's no way a demon could coexist with the Holy Spirit inside you and Jesus Christ living inside you. It's impossible. So what you see when people who are born again Christians think that they're demon possessed, I think a more accurate description would be that the theological term is that they're demonized, and demonized is different than demon possessed. Demonized means a born again Christian can't be possessed by a demon, but they can be externally oppressed by a demon or demonic forces, or demons can afflict them in their lives, not through internal possession, but externally. And so sometimes when you see certain kinds of oppression in a belief life, that oppression
can be due sometimes to what's called demonization. They're not possessed, but they're externally oppressed. And then they need deliverance. Not deliverance in the sense of casting a demon out of them, because they don't have a demon in them, but supernatural deliverance in the sense of severing the ties or the attachments or the access points that a demon or demons have afflicting somebody who's born again externally. So again, we're not delivering them from an internal demon, breaking the cords or connection or oppression that demons attempt to bring into believers' lives. And by the way, the only reason a demon would demonize or oppress a born-again Christian, that born-again Christian, either through sin or rebellion, or simply ignorance of God's word and ignorance of their authority in Christ, has left the spiritual door open or a portal open, which gives demonic powers the permission, so to speak, to oppress them and afflict them. Now, Jesus cast demons out of a lot of people. And it's interesting, this is very foreign to us, but Jesus very much believed in a spirit of sickness or a spirit of infirmity. And so sometimes when he was supernaturally healing people, he would command a spirit, certain spirit of disease, to come out of people. So when Jesus was supernaturally healing people, he often cast demons out of their lives, because Jesus, who's the Son of God, perceived that the root cause of their sickness or disease or affliction was the oppression of a demonic power. Now, this is very delicate in today's world, but I don't think that we as Christians take God's word seriously enough, and we're not studying God's word diligently enough, because if it is true, and it's obviously true, or Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would not have ministered this way. The reason Jesus Christ was casting demons out of sick people many times, as well as simply casting demons out, is because the reality is, according to Christ, many sicknesses were of a demonic origin or spiritual origin, both mental sicknesses and bodily sicknesses. Now, we don't like to talk about that, but that's what the Bible teaches. So we can fall into two different extremes, as to completely not acknowledge the fact that Jesus modeled and was teaching that certain diseases, physical problems and mental problems were directly connected to the influence of a demon or a spirit, and people did not get physically healed or mentally delivered until that demon was cast out of that person's life. That's a reality. But there were other occasions where Jesus was just casting a demon out, and that demon manifested itself by a person who was possessed, very self-destructive, you know, crying out, very self-destructive and odd behavior. Now, a serious mistake is to go off balance in the other direction, where every time somebody's sick, or anytime someone has a psychological problem or challenge, to mistakenly assume that they're demon-possessed or demon-afflicted. I have seen a great deal of harm done to people who were not demon-possessed or demonized or afflicted externally, and they had some kind of sickness or disease or a psychological problem, and somebody is trying to cast a demon out of them. Well, they are not just out of them, but commanding the demons to leave and implying that their psychological problem or their physical sickness problem was due to a demonic spirit. And a great deal of harm has been done by carelessness in that area. But at the same time, there is the reality that there are, according to Christ, have to be a certain significant percentage of a relationship between externalized demonization and affliction, sickness or mental illness or whatever. And so we need to use discernment. But it appears that we have a certain percentage of Christians kind of going off the deep end, acting kind of crazy about all this stuff with demons. But on the other hand, we have a disturbingly high percentage of people who fail to recognize that demons and spirits do play, in certain cases, a part in disease or mental illness. Now, we go around talking to people who have biochemical problems such as depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia or a whole host of psychological, biochemical, or psychiatric conditions. Again, great harm is done by implying to people that they're possessed or externalized with demonization from external oppression. So we need to really be walking with wisdom. But having said that, in Matthew 9:22, I'm going to read part of it to you. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. So one of the primary emphases of Jesus Christ's ministry was not just the preaching of salvation, although that was the most important part, but Jesus Christ cast demons out of people. And back then, they didn't have doctors and all these medicines and stuff. And so people were afflicted with disease and sickness, and Jesus was healing people with his supernatural illnesses and diseases all over the place. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." So asking God to heal you is biblical. And it's the first thing we should do, is we should come to God and ask him to heal us of whatever it is, because ultimately he is the healer. He is the great physician. And our modern medical industry, we can't just dismiss our modern medical industry. A lot of people would be dying and horribly, their bodies and minds would be just in total destruction mode if it were not for the advances made in modern medicine and doctors and surgery and so on and so forth. So God uses surgeons and doctors and medicines, but there are some cases where some of those practices are questionable. That's why you need a second opinion from a doctor. Some of those treatments are potentially dangerous. But still, a lot of people's lives are being saved. But again, that is God blessing us through modern medicine and science. God is using modern medicine and science, so we don't behave like Christian Scientists or other cultish groups who think it's sinful to go to a doctor. That's idiocy. All right, now, so Jesus is the ultimate healer. In Luke 17:19, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Notice in the three verses I read, the key to people being healed was their faith. "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole." In the following verse, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Okay, believing and faith are the same thing. So if you're believing God for your healing, or you have faith in God after you asked him to heal you,
That's a key. That's a spiritual law. If you want to be supernaturally healed by God, you have to exercise faith and believe God for your healing, even if it's only a mustard seed of faith, which means a tiny faith. God's will in 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's a very comprehensive scripture. It's saying that God wants you to prosper in all areas of life, and that God wants you to be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So God wants your health to be prospered, your entire life to be prospered, and your soul to prosper. What does that mean? Your inner man or your woman, your emotions, your psychical being, you know, your personhood. He wants you to be, your soul to prosper. In Psalms 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. This is Jesus Christ not only being the great physician, you could say being the great psychiatrist or the great psychologist. A lot of people are emotionally, deeply, deeply, deeply emotionally wounded and broken, which leads to depression, anxiety, heartache that is unbearable. And Jesus heals the broken in heart. So maybe you're listening and you're broken in heart. Something has happened in your life that broke your heart. Somebody betrayed you or rejected you, or certain things happened that broke your heart. Certain people or persons may have broken your heart. And that's a very real thing. And it causes depression, it causes sorrow, it causes physical sicknesses as well. So in this psalm, he healeth God, the broken in heart. So God heals you if you have a broken heart. Jesus Christ wants to heal you if you have a broken heart. And then it says, and bindeth up their wounds. So there's a relationship between having a broken heart, and the broken heart comes from the fact that someone or some group or something has wounded you. They broke your heart. And what would be a way that you could be wounded that would result in a broken heart? Well, rejection is the biggest thing. If you love someone or you think they love you, whether it's a friend or a spouse or whatever, or it could be people at the job you work for or your boss or whatever, he healeth the broken heart. And we can be wounded by other people. Sometimes they do it intentionally. Sometimes they do it because they're self-centered and they don't fully realize what they're doing. But there's lots of people in America and Europe and around the world who put on a good face, but they have a broken heart. I mean, it's a serious problem. And you see, people then self-medicate sometimes. They take drugs, legal and illegal. They drink booze. They do all kinds of things. And that's why it's very dangerous around being judgmental and scorning people who may be doing sinful things. I'm not justifying people's sin, nor am I giving people a license to sin. But before we jump on someone and reject someone for sinful behavior, let's say they're an alcoholic or they're abusing drugs, or again, I'm not giving people a license to be promiscuous or whatever, but there are many ways that people attempt to deal with pain, which could constitute sinful behavior. And a lot of times Christians are very quick to judge them for their sinful behavior. And again, I'm not promoting sinful behavior, but sometimes we have to look into people's lives as deeply as God does. And sometimes we would understand that what's causing them to do certain things is their incredible pain.
because they have a broken heart. They were wounded. And if we are open to minister to them, to help facilitate the healing of their broken heart and their woundedness, then when the woundedness, the wounds are bound up and God heals the broken heart, then all of a sudden they have no more desire to engage in certain behaviors like alcoholism and drug abuse or whatever. So we need to be sensitive in the Holy Spirit and discerning. Psalms 103:3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, sins, who healeth thy diseases. So it's interesting. Inequities, forgiveness of sins, there's a relationship between sin and opening the door to certain diseases. And this relationship is mentioned here. It's the will of God to heal all your diseases. James 5:14, is any sick among you? This is so, so important. It's so important. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a spiritual principle, but if you're going to the elders of your church to be prayed for sickness, and you want them to anoint you with oil, that only works assuming that the elders of your church believe that God does still today supernaturally heal people. Because if you're going to the elders of your church for physical healing or psychological healing, and you want to be anointed with oil, but they teach a doctrine that God doesn't heal today, and they don't believe that God heals, you're wasting your time, because the condition for releasing God's supernatural healing power, the condition for that is faith. You have to believe in it. So if you're asking for the elders of the church to pray over you, you need to know whether these elders believe that God heals today. Otherwise, you need to find a church or a ministry where people will pray over you who believe that God will heal you. Because the oil alone is not going to heal you. It has to be you ministered to by people who believe, and you have to exercise your belief. And at the Paradise Mountain Church meetings that we regularly have, I always make myself available at every meeting to pray for anybody who wants prayer personally. And a huge percentage of the prayers that are requested from me that I pray for people about have to do with physical or psychological or emotional healing. And I believe that God heals. I've seen God heal a lot of people supernaturally or by blessing the doctors and with medicine. I believe that God supernaturally heals people. So when people come up for prayer, I pray for them. And it's quite often that I'll hear a testimony from that individual. They'll send me an email or a letter, or they'll return to the church, and they'll tell me, you know, I was, after you prayed for me, Paul, I was healed. And sometimes it's quite dramatic. Now, I don't talk about that a lot, but people come to the Paradise Mountain Church meetings, and oftentimes I'll pray over all the people gathered, or sometimes if people want, they can have individualized prayer. But I can't tell you how many times people will, as we interact and people ask me questions and stuff, how many times people will just, I'm not asking them to, they'll just volunteer their testimony. I had a guy come to the meeting at the last meeting, and he said, I was at the meeting before this, he said, and he had some kind of heart condition or whatever, and he did need surgery. He got the surgery. But he said, when you were praying, He said the power of God came down like warm energy, or this warm power came upon me and filled, and he signified with his hand his chest area where his heart was. He says the power of God entered me, and I felt like I was being healed. And he believed that the reason the operation went well and that he was still alive was that God supernaturally touched him, prayed over the people. And so when he came after the meeting, when he gave this more recent meeting, when he gave his testimony, I called him up forward and I wanted to pray for him again, this time personally. And I laid my hand on his heart area, and I prayed that God would continue to supernaturally heal him and keep him in health. And I've had this happens all the time, and people are miraculously healed. I had a pastor's wife. We were holding a Paradise Mountain church meeting, and a pastor's wife from another church was in the audience. And I'd begun ministering. I'm almost sure I wasn't ministering on the topic of healing. And within minutes, after she just entered the, we always have our Paradise Mountain Church meetings. We rent hotel rooms to have the meetings in. And within minutes after entering the room where we were holding the meeting, and I'd already begun talking, but see, the presence of the Holy Spirit is already in the room, because I pray, and people on our ministry team, we pray for the meeting before it happens, and we ask God to fill the room with his presence to move. So I'd been talking for just a couple of minutes, and she said this like wave of light and healing power hit her shoulder, and her shoulder was completely healed. And prior to that, she had injured her shoulder, and she was in, you know, a great deal of pain, because her injured shoulder, I guess, was still injured and still causing her a tremendous amount of pain. This had been going on for week after week after week. And this minister's daughter said, I just came into the room and sat down. And instantly, I could feel the power of the Lord go through my body, and my shoulder was healed, and I was totally out of pain. Now, I didn't even know that happened until a couple of weeks later. You know, somebody told me. But the point is, the reason that happens is because I, as the pastor, believe that God heals. And when people come into the meetings, and she wasn't even asking God to heal her. She just walked in the room. God supernaturally healed her. I don't have, quote, a healing ministry. This is not something I specialize in, or neither is it my main focus. That doesn't mean I won't pray for healing for people. I do all the time, constantly. But for people, you know, people being healed just spontaneously in their seat and things is God's miraculous power. And it's so the Lord wants to heal people. And then, as I've shared with you in other times, sometimes you pray for people and nothing seems to happen. So I've prayed for people and they've gone on to on with the Lord. I prayed with my father for healing, but I knew, I had this sense that it was my father's time to go. And so I ministered to my father for quite a while. And he was unable to speak, but I encouraged him. I led him to the Lord decades ago, so he was born again. But I ministered to him, and I simply told him, even though he couldn't speak audibly, I said, tell the Lord, Dad, what you want, you know. And I prayed for him, and he passed on to be with the Lord like 2 days later. I had flown back from city. Now, in my opinion, he was healed, not temporally on earth, but look, when you go into heaven, you're completely healed. You have a brand new glorified body. You're in paradise. You're doing just fine. So since I'm not the one that heals as a minister, and you're not the one that heals when you pray for people, it's God that heals. Our job is just to be obedient to the Lord. So if somebody, whether it's ourselves or somebody needs healing, we ask God to heal in the name of Jesus. We'll pray over them. But the result is up to God. It's not Paul's healing power that heals people. It's the Lord. And therefore, the burden, I don't carry a burden of, gee, it has to have this result or that result, because I don't do the healing. God does. And sometimes God will heal dramatically. But there's many times where God gives us his grace. My grace is sufficient, the word says. And that means God gives us the power to endure sickness and affliction. And that can last years. It can last decades. Not pleasant. I'd much rather be healed. You'd much rather be healed. But it's not, you're not being healed because you have a lack of faith. I mean, that sometimes could be it, but you know, I can't answer. I'm not omniscient like God is. I can't tell you why there are some people and in some things God will miraculously heal people and they'll be instantly healed or within a week or a short period of time. And there are many, many times when it is the grace of God is poured out and they're given the power to endure affliction, which is not necessarily always pleasant, but they don't see that dramatic, instantaneous miracle. And that is not because there's sin in their lives or, you know, they have unbelief. It's just the way God to move. Now, there could be sin in their life. There could be unbelief in their lives. But we can't jump to that conclusion. I do know this, that even when we pray for people and we don't see something instantaneous or dramatic and they're given the grace to endure, all right, that what the Lord wants from us, we should always have an attitude of fighting a war against the affliction and the disease. We should never give up and accept it. Okay? We need to continually pray. We need to continually listen to the Lord. And then we need to be self-educated and do our homework and learn specifically about nutrients, vitamins, herbs, nutrition, diet, alternative medicine, as well as obviously going to a doctor or medical professional. Because many, many, many of the diseases, afflictions that I see people suffer from, and sometimes it's very serious illnesses, many times, and I don't claim to be a medical doctor, many times it appears to me that these things are brought on by a lack of exercise, a bad diet, a lack of good nutrition, a lack of the proper usage of vitamins and herbs, etc., and alternative medicine, violation of God's laws in terms of, you know, eating genetically modified foods or sugars or all kinds of things, or eating substances and drinking liquids and water with all kinds of toxins and poisons in it. Or there's a lot of things we can do in terms of, if we choose to violate the laws of health, healing, nutrition, exercise, vitamins, minerals, diet. If we choose to violate those laws and then we get sick, and we get sick for a long time or whatever, we have contributed. We opened the door for the sick and the disease, okay? And so we need to pray and ask the Lord and do our homework, which requires reading, not just believe. The doctors will only tell you one thing, and I'm not saying you shouldn't go to a doctor. You should go to a doctor. But in addition to medicines, nutrients, vitamins, and herbs can be powerful healing substances that can cure you or take the thing you're suffering from and significantly lessen your and significantly lessen your symptoms. And so it's essential that we spend time studying this and researching this, because our attitude, and this is probably the most important thing I'm going to share with you besides the fact that God is the ultimate source of healing, but our attitude should always be not to accept our, we shouldn't even say our sickness, because that's a way of accepting it. We should not accept sickness and disease and other things in our bodies and minds. We should always consider them invaders, enemies, and do everything we can in terms of prayer, gaining knowledge about nutrients and vitamins and the proper doctors to go to. And we should always be fighting it and learning and even experimenting, assuming you've checked it out with a medical doctor. You don't want to take an herb or a vitamin or something that may have a bad reaction with medicine or something, or something to do with your own biological condition. You don't want to create a worse problem, serious problem, by indiscriminately taking a bunch of vitamins and herbs that you don't know what you're doing. So the point is, we should not accept sickness and disease. We need to always have a mentality of fighting it, even if the fight goes for year after year after year. Because you'll find if you continue to pray and you experiment with different nutrients, I'm not talking like every 2 or 3 days, but you read, you make sure it's safe, you consult with a medical professional, you'll discover that, you'll hear that, okay, like anti-inflammation herbs and vitamins. Inflammation is one of the number one things that causes pain in our bodies and minds. And inflammation, they say, is the root cause of, or one of the causes for dementia and Alzheimer's. When your brain gets inflamed, the neurological system doesn't function as well. Inflammation causes pain and aches in the body. Inflammation is a huge destructive mechanism. But there are things, you know, the doctor will give you painkillers or strong, you know, 800 milligram Tylenols and all this other kind of stuff. And it may work or it may cause worse effects. I'm not telling you not to go to a doctor. But you see, you need to experiment in conjunction with a medical professional with, for example, herbs that gets rid of inflammation. Certain diets will cause inflammation. In my own personal life, I've had to experiment with diet, nutrition, all kinds of things. I did things in my own life which were foolish, like thinking you're Superman and working 24 hours a day, but working endless hours, never resting, jumping on jets here, constantly, you know, writing books like crazy, speaking all over the place, burning myself out, neglecting to rest, and fooling myself into thinking that I was Superman. And then it catches up with you, and then you have to build your body back, which can be done with nutrition, herbs, prayer, rest, exercise, etc. And that means changing your diet. So this is what we're supposed to do as God's people. So, for example, turmeric has become very popular in recent years as an anti-inflammatory, which helps everybody in terms of depression. It helps improve your memory because it causes a reduction of inflammation in your brain. But also, turmeric is an anti-inflammatory with all kinds of autoimmune diseases and pains due to inflammation. Turmeric is very powerful, but not just any turmeric. You have to get a certain kind of turmeric that will operate at its highest potential. And so that's you have to educate yourself and read, because some turmeric is just a ripoff. But then there's other anti-inflammatory agents, foods to stay away from. Wheat. The amount of people in the United States of America and other nations who have inflammation, who have all kinds of physical problems that causes pain and autoimmune diseases and everything else, because they're consuming wheat or wheat-related products, which is just about anything you eat in America. And they modified the way they produced wheat many, many decades ago. Because if you go back 100 years or after that, even thousands of years, breads and wheat were nutritious. They were good for you. They healed you. And they were, in biblical days, an essential part of diet. And it was good for you. But a long time ago, they altered the way they produced wheat. And the wheat we now eat, to a huge percentage, and every product that's wheat-related, and I'm talking about cereals, I'm talking about a whole spectrum of foods that people think are healthy, like multi-grain breads. Okay, but if you're allergic to wheat, which most people are, and the reality is they're not allergic to true wheat, but there is no true wheat anymore. Even organic wheat is affected by the change of production in wheat, which happened probably 100 years before genetically modified foods. So wheat causes an entire cascade of allergic reactions that cause fatigue, dullness of memory, lack of energy, aches and pains, and all kinds of things. Our wheat is fundamentally corrupted. And eating whole grains or organic wheat, unfortunately, doesn't solve the problem. So we have to research, we have to study, and then we experiment. Maybe your body's not reacting to wheat. But let's say you have all kinds of aches and pains and inflammation. Well, you have to ask yourself a number of things. One, are you exercising? Two is, what are you eating in terms of your diet and nutrition that's causing this inflammation? And a lot of times it's the food products you're eating, the genetically modified organisms and the wheat. So a lot of people are allergic to wheat. A lot of people are allergic to peanuts that don't even realize it. And then you experiment with herbal, neutral, anti-inflammatory properties. For example, many years ago, I used to get strep throat constantly, decades ago, because I knew nothing about nutrition and I knew nothing about bombarding my body, that's what I call it, with antioxidants and antiviral nutrients and antibacterial agents. Again, if you don't take care of a serious strep throat, sometimes you need to go to a medical doctor where you need antibiotics, etc. It's not something you play around with because it can cause very serious harm to your body. That's why I talk about the necessity of consulting with a medical professional. But since I began to use antioxidants, and when I have developed the habit of instantly when a cold or a flu, if it starts to come on me, or even doing it proactively, if I bombard my body with nutrients and herbs that are antiviral, antibacteriological, I will find I don't get the flu. I don't get the cold. Or if I do, it's far lessened. I don't get the strep throats. I can't remember the last time I had a strep throat. Was it so many decades ago? I can't remember. I used to get it constantly. And that just shows you just learning something about nutrients. You know, olive leaf is a powerful antibacteria, antivirus. And then there's even there's the pills, and it's very strong, and it has a bitter taste to it. It bothers a lot of people. But one of the most powerful olive leaf compounds is when you get liquid concentrated olive leaf liquid compound, and you put the necessary amount of drops under your tongue, and it burns your throat and stuff. But if you dose yourself with that, if you're feeling something strong coming on you, like a flu or a cold or a sore throat or something, if you hit it hard, assuming you've checked it out with the medical professionals and you're not doing something foolish, you don't have to get sick. And I've taught this to my children from the youngest of ages. I didn't know this. My mother didn't know this growing up, and most people I know don't know it still today, but I would bombard them with these healthy things like carrot juice and other things, and they wouldn't get sick. Now, yes, sometimes we did have to take them to the doctor, and being responsible, we did. But you see, when we get into the area of things like cancers and diabetes and all these autoimmune diseases and all these other diseases that people are suffering from, the severe, the pain, the crippling effect, maybe you don't conquer it, but you have the attitude that you're going to conquer it. You keep learning, but if you educate yourself, and in addition to going to a doctor and not doing something that conflicts with a doctor, you're taking advantage of these nutrients, etc., and antivirals and antibacteria and all other kinds of things, you can avoid, lessen, minimize, and not catch a lot of these things. Because sometimes they'll like zap you and miraculously heal you, and other times the healing comes through a rejuvenation process. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, but I want to encourage you that no matter how badly you're feeling, develop the mindset of, and sometimes it's a battle. You feel so weak, you can't even muster up the inner choice to say that I'm going to, by the grace of God, defeat this. Don't surrender to sickness and disease. Fight it constantly, because it's really part of the curse and part of being in a fallen world. And then the other thing is something that I've learned to teach myself to do, in addition to the other things, is lying in bed before I go to sleep, or if I'm resting or whatever. Let's say I've been on a conference and I'm jet lagged or resting or whatever. It's a form of prayer. No, it's not contemplative prayer. I don't believe in contemplative prayer. It's praying to the Lord, but I don't do a lot of blabbing to the Lord in prayer. I ask Him to send His healing power into my body. And then by faith, childlike faith, I simply put my body, mind, soul, and spirit into like a receptive mode. And I keep my body, soul, and spirit in a receptive mode before Jesus Christ, And by prayer, I just draw in, I receive, I make a choice with my will to receive his healing virtue and his healing power into my body. And I don't feel something usually dramatic, but I feel by opening myself to the healing power of God and making a choice with my will in prayer to receive his healing power, I can feel his divine energy flow into me. I can feel his divine healing power just begin to fill me. It's subtle, but I sense, because I've positioned my heart, soul, mind, and will properly before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm receiving. It's like almost being in a passive mode. I'm receiving his healing power, even if I don't do a lot of talking. I just receive it, and I allow myself to bathe in the healing presence of the Lord, sometimes for an hour or so, or if I wake up in the middle of the night, I just allow myself to bathe in the healing presence of the Lord. And I just want to close with that. These are just a few of the things that we can do. And we're going to talk about more. But the key is we have to declare war against sickness and disease. And that mindset is critical. I was sharing with you how I enter like a passive mode or a receptive mode in prayer to Jesus Christ, where I don't do a lot of talking, but I begin by asking him to fill me with his healing power and virtue. And so I'll lie there silently. Again, this is not contemplative prayer. This is prayer to Jesus. And I receive by faith. I just lie there almost like it's like being somewhat like a sponge, just soaking in his power, soaking in his healing presence. And it's not like it's something like being zapped with a lightning bolt. It's subtle, but I can feel the healing energy of Jesus Christ, his healing virtue, fill my body, soul, and mind on a cellular level. And I believe that when I do that, I'm opening myself up to God's healing power. And I want to encourage you to do everything you can. Partner with Jesus Christ. He is the great physician, but do everything you can to cooperate with him and allow him to inspire you and talk to you and give you ideas on how to be healed. Because there are simple things like apple cider vinegar and all kinds of things that have unique healing properties. But if we're just going to sit there passively and eat ice cream all day, well, not much good is going to happen. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and send this program and this series on health and healing to people that need to hear it. And God wants to heal people. And when God heals people, people want to get saved. And it all comes out of that personal relationship we can choose to have with Jesus Christ. So visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us. One thing I want to remind you of is coming up March 15th to the 17th, 2019. I'll be speaking at the Red River Bible and Prophecy Conference in Moorhead, Minnesota. I'll be speaking along with two powerful men of God, Pastor Mike Hoggard and Carl Tykrib. Authors, speakers, will be talking about cutting-edge Bible prophecy topics that I think you'll find powerful and teachings you won't hear in other places. Now, you can go to Moorhead, Minnesota. It'll be held at the Courtyard by Marriott Conference Center. And to get more information, you can simply go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And there's a giant link for the Red River Bible Prophecy Conference with date, time, directions, etc. And if you can't make it physically, you can watch for free live streaming, free live streaming of all 3 days of this conference. And this can all be done at Titus213Hope.com. That's Titus213Hope.com. And if you forget that, just go to paulmcguire.us. I have two big posters for the Red River Bible Prophecy Conference. I'll be speaking 5 times. The other men of God and prophecy teachers will be speaking a whole bunch of times. And you get to 3 full days of power-packed Bible prophecy teaching for free. And that's because the team that's behind this, that sponsor it, God's given them a unique position that you can watch this for free live streaming. But you don't want to forget about it. And one thing that you can help do is spread the link. Go to paulmcguire.us and you'll see the link for the live streaming and for attendance of the Red River Bible Prophecy Conference. But spread to your friends. Send the poster about the speakers, the messages, the topics, the free live streaming. Send it far and wide, because this isn't like a year ago or 2 years ago. Censorship is rampant on the internet, and things that used to just naturally spread don't spread unless people like you make the effort. Plus, it'll be an incredible blessing to your friends and people that you know, because you're getting 3 days of live streaming, power-packed Bible prophecy teaching for free. And hopefully you can make it to the conference. So you go to McGuire.us too, and you can click in directly to the Red River Bible Prophecy Conference. And you'll see me when you turn on the live streaming. And I believe God will bless you. God bless you, and Paul McGuire.